Geschmack. Good to see everybody. We've been learning. We've been Bershus Harav. We've been learning Pirkei Avos throughout the last couple of weeks, Wednesday night. So this week is the last week, and not the last week of Mishnayos Avos. That was really last week, because there are five prakim in Mishnayos Avos. But that's mini Gisrael to learn Avos over the course of the Shabbos. So at the very least, the Shabbos is from Pesach to Shavuos. Many communities even go further all the way up until Rosh Hashanah. But because there are always six Shabbos after Pesach before Shavuos, so we have this the first 5 weeks of the five prakim of Mishnayos Avos. And this week is Perek Shishi, not really Mishnayos. That's why the opening. If you want to be technical, we say the opening halacha or the opening braisa, the line is Shanu Chacham b'Lashon HaMishnah. Or the Chazal taught us in the language of Mishnais. This is not actually Mishnais. These are braises that are meant to serve as a companion, sixth parak, to the five prakim of Avos. We noticed last week that the very last, the fifth parak, which is Mishnais, a distinct change. From the both in format and content from the earlier prakim, the first four prakim are centered around various chachamim, various balei masora. This Tana says this, and that Tana says that. Last week we saw a change in format, focused on the numbers rather than on the names. All the mishnayos of 10 and the mishnayos of 7 and 4 and 3 and 2 and then the ages, and we saw also. From the first four prakim to Perek Chamishi, a shift in terms of content, a shift from the Tikkun HaMidos focus of the first four prakim to more of a focus on a Jewish history and on Hanhagas Hashem, together with Hanhagas Bnei Adam, together with Tikkun HaMidos. And now we come to Perek Shishi, where the overwhelming focus is on learning longer brises and an overwhelming focus. On the beauty and the necessity of Talmud Torah. There's so much to learn here. With all the 48 kinyanim, the 48 tools that you need to succeed in learning, so many famous, important lines. I want to take a look at one that's famous and perhaps puzzling. Or if we take it seriously, we might make us feel uncomfortable. Different versions of Avos have different countings, different ways to break it down to Mishnayos and to Braises. In my edition, this is Braisa Dalot. Kachi Darko Shel Torah. This is the way of Torah. Pasta Melach Tochal. You'll eat bread with salt. Umayim b'mesura tishta, you'll drink water in measure. Al aretz tishan, you'll sleep on the floor. V'chayi tzar tichya, and you'll live a life of pain. Uvatora ata amel, and you're hard at work in learning Torah. Im ata osa kein, if you'll do this, ashrecha v'tovlach. Quoting the pasuk in the Shir HaMalos, which sounds redundant. Ashrecha v'tovlach, those both sound like you'll have a good life. So the Bryce here explains, as does the take a look at the Gemara and Brachas as well. Ashrecha ba'ol mazeh v'tov lach ba'ol haba. The double language is that you'll be fortunate ol mazeh and things will be good ol haba. This is the way to happiness, both in the present and the future. And the question honestly is, what does this mean? And the question is honestly, where do we fall in all of this? I haven't been to all of your homes. Although, via Zoom, now I can at least get a little a peek at one of the walls behind you. I don't think any of us are asleep on the floor. I hope none of us are reduced to bread and salt and water. Even the fact that I said I hope none of us are reduced, but the shteta in Avos, that's what's supposed to be. So if we're going to be serious, this puts us in an awkward position. Do we not subscribe to Avos? Is this the ideal? Is this not the ideal? And where do we fall? And not only does it make us personally uncomfortable because we don't find that we're fulfilling this, but what's it supposed to mean? What's it supposed to mean? The Rambam and the Kuzri, we showed them all talk extensively about the fact that the Yahadus does not see rejection of the physical as an ideal. We do not see the monastery or the hermit as the ideal person. We do not see, we're not Catholics who think that celibacy is the ideal, who think that any engagement with the Olam Hazeh is a concession. So how do you square with this? So the Reb Chaim Volozhin in his Ruach Chaim and Avos has a fascinating insight based, and he comes to a big idea, but he begins with a very small detailed question in the language of the Mishnah. It's so often the case, just learning with an NCSY group not long ago, we were talking about how sometimes it's so often the case in learning that a small key can open a very big door. Sometimes you focus, we've all seen this to be true in our learning in the past, you focus on a little question, and when you answer it, it opens up large vistas. So Reb Chaim Volozhin points out that there's a wrinkle in the grammar. The Braisa begins, Kachi Darsha Torah, Mayim B'Melach Tochel. You will eat bread with salt. You will drink Mayim B'Mesor. You will sleep. You will live Chayitzar. Then all of a sudden shifts, Uvatorah Ata Amel. You are busy in learning. If not to Osekin, if you do this, Ashrecha says, this is like a shift from the future tense to the present tense. So he suggests the following. There's a difference, but what the Mishnah is talking about, or the Braisa rather, is talking about, is where do you see yourself headed? What are you prepared to do? And he says essentially that it's critical to differentiate, I mean, our terminology, our parlance, we would say it's critical to differentiate between wants and needs. He says between methods and goals. If the goal is the luxury, if the goal is the luxurious eating and the luxurious living, if that's what I'm trying to get at, then one's not going to be successful in growth and learning. I may learn here and there. I may fulfill, minimally the mitzvah. I could be involved in learning Torah every day, even if my goal in life is luxury. I can still check off that box of going to the shir, of listening to the podcast. What the Rambam describes in Perek Aleph as the chiyuv of Talmud Torah, but Perek Shishi here is devoted to what the Rambam describes in the third Perek of Hilchos Talmud Torah as kisra shel Torah, as ambition in learning, not just that I'm checking off the box, I'm doing some learning every day, but if the goal is to grow my relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the large, and specifically to attain the crown of Torah, that it's something that transforms me. Language quoted from just a few pages ago, the Keser Torah. If I'm looking for Kisro Shel Torah, that's what crowns me, that's what identifies me, that's who I am, and that's what raises me up, then there has to be clarity about Iker and Tafel. And Reb Chaim Volozhin says, I have to be ready if it's true for anything in life. It's only true for the most valuable things in life. If I really want to make it big, if I really want to succeed ambitiously, I have to be ready to really make that the focus. So, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be healthy and to eat and to sleep. But if the goal is to eat luxuriously and to sleep luxuriously, if that's the goal and that's the main focus, that's where I want to get at, that's my objective, then I may learn, but I'm not going to be ambitious. I'm not going to grow. If I want to grow, it says, I need to have clarity about what my priorities are. I have to be willing to, if need be, live more modestly. Reb Chaim Volozhin goes on to say, he quotes a Gemara in Arius. He says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that even though my ambitions are primarily spiritual, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that I end up succeeding greatly, physically as well, financially as well. It says, Gemara Hari says, Atu Tzadiki Diachli Trealmi Sinalu, nothing wrong. There's certainly nothing wrong with living at large, both physically and spiritually. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends that my way, matov, enjoy, please. But that cannot be the goal. As I said, we have to differentiate between wants and needs. Would it be nice to have luxuries? Sure. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends them my way, by all means, enjoy them without compunction. With modesty, with midos, but we're not opposed to Olam Hazeh by any stretch of the imagination, and we're not opposed to enjoying Olam Hazeh. But enjoying Olam Hazeh if enjoying Olam Hazeh becomes the goal, if the wants become needs, if the luxuries become something that I can't be without, and that becomes the primary focus, so then the Kisra Shel Torah will remain out of reach. And he says that explains even the grammatical wrinkle. Looking forward, future tense, I have to be prepared for, if I want to truly succeed ambitiously in learning and growth, I have to be prepared for life may be luxurious or maybe more simple in the future. But the goal is B'Torah Ata Amil. And this clarity of differentiating between wants and needs, I think, is captured as well in a passage with which we'll end. In my edition, it's the beginning of Brisa Tess. It's a story, the autobiographical vignette that Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma relates. He says he was once walking, he meets a fellow who makes him an offer that he thought Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma couldn't refuse. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma did refuse. Right? He says, hello. Nasli shalom, hechzarki lo shalom. Very, very, very polite guy. And you don't often hear that stress in Chazal. There was chit-chat. Right? It was a very pleasant encounter. And he says, Rabbi, where you're from? He's a makamata. He says, Ir gadol shal chacham v'shal sofrim. Yossi ben Kisma says, I'm proud to come from a town that's built on Torah. I'm proud that what identifies my city is a city full of talmidei chacham. And he says, Rabbi, maybe you want to move to us. You come live with us. We'd love to have you. And we'll pay you very well. Give you millions of golden coins. This is a veritable fortune. Millions of golden coins. Gems, pearls, amarti, an offer that he couldn't refuse. But he did. He's a matanosni called Kesav Azav Avon Tovus Margosha Ba'olam Ain Ani Dar Elba Makam Torah. You could pay me all the money in the world, but I will only live in a Makam Torah. And then this captures and expresses that clarity. He didn't say he's anti-money. He didn't say he's anti-gems. But he had clarity about what his priorities were. If I'll have the gems here, sounds like, okay, in the Makam Torah. But for the luxuries to become what I chase, and I'm willing to reduce my ambitions, willing to leave, to live in a place that isn't focused around learning because of the luxuries, if I do that, I'm putting the Kisra Shel Torah out of my grasp. And so Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma captures for us the clarity in differentiating between wants and needs. It's going to come up when it's a question of prioritizing. When I have to make decisions, I have to make choices, where my values are, what's ikker and what's tuffel, will be expressed in when the rubber hits the road. When I need to choose, those choices matter, those choices define me, and the clarity of Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is what opens each of us up to ever greater striving to be growing people. Remembering why we're here and what the main goal is, to be striving for growth in general and to be striving for growth in Torah in particular, to seek to really, and these are long-term goals. And sometimes, I'll close with this, and sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that was only, when I was 18 and 20 and 22, I was in yeshiva, so then I could think about, dream about becoming a Talmud Chacham, and then, wherever I got to, that's where I'm at. The Rambam is very, very clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to give us many healthy decades of life on this planet, and Mitzvah, he will give us many more healthy decades of life on this planet, that's because he expects us to be growing ambitiously for many healthy decades. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be, not only to seek to be a greater Talmud Chacham, when I'm 22 than when I'm 18, but to seek to be a greater Talmud Chacham when I'm 52 than when I'm 42, to seek to be a greater Talmud Chacham when I'm 82 than when I'm 72, and to grow ambitiously over time. And again, in ways I've heard, Rav Neuberger has reminded us in the past, both in shul and in yeshiva, that sometimes there are different stages in life, there are different aspects of Torah that speak to us more, there are different aspects of Torah and different schedules of learning that will work better at different stages in life. But as a Jew progresses from year to year and from decade to decade, we need to keep our eye on the prize. There are a lot of things that we're busy with, and they're good things. We have to make sure that we keep our eye on the prize, and by keeping our eye on the prize, we ensure that we're accomplishing the big goals, and by keeping our eye on the prize and having clarity about what our goals are, we make sure that all of the pieces of our lives are pushing towards that goal. As the sixth parak ends, Kol Masha Baruch Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olam Lo Bro El L'Chvodo. Everything that Rosh Hashanah created Olam Hazeh, it is capacity for us to use it to further Kavod Shamayim. It's not just the obvious as self-evident religious things. All the mundane parts of our lives can and ought to be vehicles for furthering Kavod Shamayim, for furthering Tzon Hashem. That will happen when we maintain clarity about what the goals are. Then everything else, everything, when there's clarity what the mission is, what the objective is, then every part of our life can be turned towards accomplishing those great goals. We should talk about Zocha, that the upcoming Yantav of Shavuos should give us renewed koach in Kabbalah Satorah, renewed koach in revitalizing our striving towards ever greater Kisra Shal Torah from month to month, from year to year, Mitzvah, from decade to decade. Rabbi Osei, have a wonderful night. Once again, it's an incredible kavod to have the Rav with us.